This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Marietta McCarty is a professor of philosophy at the Piedmont Virginia Community College, and she joins us in studio to discuss her new book, Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Coy.
I'm so glad you could come in. I know right now you're one of the busiest people on the planet with this book. You've been all over the place. This book is taking you everywhere.
It certainly has. It's given me many gifts, many places to go, and I'm overwhelmed by the national and international response to it. So I think that the notion of clear thinking and reexamining and reinvigorating our mental lives, and especially addressing the issues with children through conversation and dialogue and wonder, which children are so full of, has really captured people's attention, and there seems to be feeding a hunger that's there.
Yeah, have we slipped into and here we are jumping right into it, but have we slipped into perhaps teaching too much nuts and bolts to our kids? Too many trees and not enough forests?
Sure. I've been taking philosophy to children for about 15 years. And everywhere I go, and I've been all over the country, I find hardworking teachers, but they're overwhelmed by rigidity, by the standardized test, by all that they're forced to do. And you talk to teachers here in Albemarle County, and they say, you know, we have children in our school who are homeless. And we need to hear their stories. We need to talk to them and get to know them just as we need to get to know any of our students. You just can't teach generically. You have to have conversation. And so I think we've missed what, for me, for the background of philosophy, is quite fundamental. What is education? What's the meaning of it? What do we hope to accomplish by it? And I think philosophy takes us back to that beginning step, to be clear about our ideas, because our ideas motivate everything we do. And when we're confused there, or worse still, when we don't think about ideas at all and just sort of get caught up in the motion of a society, we're lost.
Marietta McCarty joins us. Her new book is Little Big Minds, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question for Marietta. Let me ask you, Where were you in your life when you knew philosophy? That's for me. I that's something I got to do. I hear the call. You know, there's a million other things I could do in this life, but I'm going to do that. That's what I really want to do.
That's a great question. No one's asked that, and I've had a lot of questions since the book came out. Actually, it'll be 6 months tomorrow that the book has been out. I went to Hollins College undergraduate, and I couldn't believe the sort of smorgasbord of all these courses I could take. So I was going literally through the alphabet. And I got to the second semester of my sophomore year. I'd gotten to the P's. I was getting a little nervous. And I wanted to call home and say I'd found something to do. And the moment I walked into the introduction to philosophy course, I knew this was home. And I felt immediately that this world of ideas and this ability to explore and expand the mind was absolutely enticing in a way that I couldn't resist.
The wonders of a good, solid liberal education at the college level. I mean, it just can't be beat.
That's right. So chemistry and economics was taken care of, but I hadn't gotten to that thing that would, you know, felt like home.
Yeah. Now, tell us about the aha moment when you realized there's something here, there's a connection between reaching children and this philosophy, this life pursuit of yours.
Well, there are many different ways of looking at that. But for many years, I ran a tennis camp out at the Blue Ridge School in Greene County, where you've been talking about the storm coming through. And I had a summer program for city children at PVCC. And rainy day activities, children love to philosophize. And no matter what we did, they were full of questions and full of wonders. So I've taught children since I was 17, tennis. So when I went to Piedmont, I can't tell you how many times, Coy, I heard one of my college students say, I wish somebody had asked me who I am before this class. I wish somebody had asked me what I thought and what difference does this make to me and what am I going to do with this information before this class. This should really be something, you know, at a younger age. Because I can remember students being stunned by what, let's talk about, for example, what does it mean to be a good person? I would see this look come over my students' face as if, we know that. We use the phrase all the time. Like, you meet so-and-so, he or she's a really good person. But what does that mean? Well, I don't really know. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it. And for me, philosophy, far from being impractical, is the most practical course of study I can imagine, because clarity about ideas gives you this confidence and this ability to navigate the world, to see problems socially and in your own life, and figure out how to go about solving them. So I decided, because teaching at a community college, you want to have outreach to the service area, how could I best get philosophy into our service region? And I thought, I'm going to follow that yellow school bus, because that's where the natural philosophers are riding. That's where they're hanging out.
And you describe children as natural philosophers.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean? Is it they ask the questions that adults have learned not to ask, perhaps?
Yes. I mean, the questions, the comments, the curiosity, the ability to embrace many different ideas at one time without one being right and one being wrong, that belongs to children. And I had a four-year-old child come up to me recently, and he said, I hear you're a philosopher. I said, well, Jack, yes. And he said, well, so am I. So he said, let's do some. So I asked him, I said, I want you to draw something for me that in your mind is a picture of friendship. And you can't use any words and you can't draw any people. He said, well, I can't use any words because I can't read yet. So I should have realized that. So he went off and he came back, and it was very clear that he had drawn a little fire and some sticks and these sort of balls on the end, and it was marshmallows. And he said, that's what you do with your friend, is you roast marshmallows and you have quiet time together. And so all this, and then all these questions tumbled out from him. And so I find that perched on children's lips are all these questions. And the only thing that's frightening to them is when adults don't want to talk to them about it.
When they just, adults, which we are so good at doing, facing all the stresses of the day, we're so good at just shutting down that conversation and saying, you know, not now, or in a minute, or why don't you go watch a video, or,
right.
You know.
And their questions aren't the easy ones. You know, they want to know, why is life, asked one child, or what happens, I can't go to any class that a child is not going to ask something about death.
Really?
Always. I can count on that question coming up, and I can count on children wondering about why the world exists, and that taking to wondering about the concept of God. And so all these questions are there. And so their main curiosity is, why doesn't everybody enjoy talking about these? You know, this is really fun. And children are comfortable with unanswered questions and doing more exploring. I tell them that philosophers are explorers, and they're jugglers, juggling all these different ideas. And kids love that.
Marietta McCarty is a professor of philosophy at Piedmont Virginia Community College, and her new book is Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. Explain to us exactly how you go about the sharing. How does a philosopher actually teach philosophy to a child? I mean, you don't make them read Socrates, obviously, but how do you do it?
Well, the book is designed for an adult audience, so it's for any adult. And it's perfectly accessible to be able to share the world of ideas with a child. And it's being used by all sorts of adults for all sorts of reasons. And so philosophy, I think, when you get right down to it, is quite simple. It's asking the big questions. Philosophers will always have jobs because they're the questions without answers. So there's good job security in it. So in each chapter, what I've laid out for the adult that will be using the book is, I'll look at a concept, for example, happiness. Why do philosophers wonder about happiness? Do we get confused about it? And in the book, I take a multicultural look at philosophy, two philosophers per chapter, ancient, modern, female, male. So we'll talk about, you know, what is it about this concept of happiness, and sprinkled throughout are the insights of the children I've worked with for these years, so that the reader will know what to expect and how high to set the bar. So in each chapter, there's a look at the concept. Then I'll present the adult reader with two philosophers who are particularly good on that topic. And then we'll look at two subtopics to drive even further into that issue. For example, in happiness, simplicity, and couldn't we all use a dose of that, and creating balance in our lives are the subtopics to get further into this understanding of what happiness is. So that's really the point in the 15 chapters. The topics are looking at, what do these ideas mean, and how to be clear about these ideas. And they're teaching tips, millions of discussion questions, and literature, poetry, music, art, suggestions to further look at that idea, and resources at the end of each chapter.
Tell us about any really unforgettable moments you've had sharing philosophy with children.
Well, I'm going to turn to what a child said at the end of our discussion on nature. And this one is particularly memorable because I was working with an ancient Chinese philosopher, Lao Tzu. I was working with a 17th century rational Western European philosopher, Spinoza, and they are very different in their approaches, but they come up with the same sense of the unity in the natural world. And so I was finished, I thought, and I was getting ready to leave, and then, and this comes directly from Little Big Minds, picture the mustard-covered face of 7-year-old Simon, his clothes redesigned by finger paints, as he raises his hand nonchalantly at the end of our discussion of Lao Tzu and Spinoza. Quote, "It's the space that does it. I think in the very beginning there was empty space, but it wasn't chaos. Then tiny things came out of it, like a speck of dust, a speck of mineral, and one drop of water like the point of a pin." Struggling to keep up with him, I asked Simon what made the tiny things come out of empty space if space were really empty. He answered me matter-of-factly. Question in its purest form. Even now, we still question our world, don't we? Question powers everything. So I looked at this
child. That was
child,
a child?
7 years old.
You're not quoting the Buddha?
Right. And he didn't realize the magnificence of what he'd said. It was just very clear to him that question is that propulsion that gets everything started. He went back to his finger paints. You know, I was left, you know, feeling kind of lightheaded and like this miraculous thing had happened. And that's just one of the many. Every day is not great. Children aren't always easy to engage if there's, you know, if there are problems at home. But
well, neither are adults. I mean, that's just,
no,
that's not
right.
Unique to children.
That's right. I wasn't sure coming over here how you would be. So that's right. So you never know. But by and large, I have found that almost all children warm to this ability to let their minds expand. And the best news for me, and this is true for myself and for my college student as well as the children, is that when your mind becomes more open and more exercised, your heart expands as well. And so there's this more of a sense of goodwill towards all life that I see happening for children and my students at Piedmont.
Marietta McCarty, her book is Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. If you've got a comment or a question, the phone number is 977-1070. What has been the reaction to this? I know that the world is calling you here in Charlottesville and saying, please come talk to us.
Yeah.
But fill us in on some of the details of exactly how, whether it's individuals or school systems or how people are reacting to this, what I believe is an incredibly important and exciting message.
Well, what I like are all, I think it's the variety of responses I'm getting. There's a publisher in Taiwan and a publishing house in Italy that have bought the rights to publish in those countries. And that's exciting. And the book is in its fourth reprint, about to go into a second edition. But it's things like a grandmother from Indiana writing and saying, I'm really stumped by my grandson. He's coming home and we love to talk on the porch. And he's coming home and he's asking me about the difference between the message he's hearing from his football coach and the message that I'm giving him about how to treat people. And can your book help me with that? And if so, I'll be forever grateful. And I said, you've already got a child philosopher. You all are talking about these things. So ask him if he thinks that what he's being asked to do, hit hard, go after that, is that going to spill over into his everyday life? And if so, talk about some other activities that together that might be more productive. So there's no right or wrong, but it's a way to talk about it. So I love things like that. There's a school in Richmond, AmeriCorps, is using the book in a school that has children from really difficult backgrounds to great success. The children find quiet time and meditating and this effort at being more mindful, very soothing in their very difficult lives. I've heard from Muslim students who are tutoring in Trenton, New Jersey, and they're very excited to be using the book, and Jewish day schools are using it. It seems to be cutting across. There's, or at least it's not coming my way, opposition to it. I guess if you're opposed, you simply don't engage in it. But I'm finding that for people, it's the book gives adults permission to do what they really want to do. They want to stop. They want to slow down, and they want to have a chance to think and perhaps make changes. Most assuredly, we can all use that. And doing this with a child is going to cause tremendous social change.
Yeah, it's got to be a wonderful opportunity that you can take to just sit and chat with a child in this way.
And what it does for the child, Coy, to be listened to, really listened to by an adult, and to be made to think that the story they're telling, the incident that they're talking about, their view of what courage means, for example, and why courage is important to them, that there's an adult that cares enough to listen and is trying to figure out about courage themselves with a child, it's tremendously empowering for that child.
And it reminds us that one of the most important things we can do with children, whether as parents or teachers, is to listen.
That's right.
And not necessarily say, look, I'm the adult. I know what you need to know. So just shut up and let me tell you.
That's right.
Oftentimes, you can teach them more by just shutting up yourself.
Yes. And learn more. This taking philosophy to children and writing the book has just changed my life. I mean, it has brought optimism and hope and more clarity for myself. How many times I left an elementary school, and there are lots of philosophy clubs springing up as after-school programs, as well as in the curriculum, and I would rush to get back to Piedmont because I couldn't wait to tell the students the story of a child's insight. And the college students would say, oh, that's what Augustine means. Or, oh, now I understand the myth of the cave, and it's based on what a child has said. So, you know, it's very exciting.
So the next book, if I can suggest, might be go by philosopher and then have children explain each of those philosophers so that we can finally understand what the heck Descartes was talking about.
Right. Well, there's a lot of that in my book so that it's reduced, just boiled right down to the essence of what those philosophers are really saying. So,
well, it's an exciting book, and I want to recommend that everybody here pick up a copy of it. It's Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. And have you gotten a good response from our local schools? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of parents listening.
There are many teachers using it in the schools in the Central Virginia. Central Virginia has been enormously supportive of the book and different creative ways of using it. You know, parents are using it. Volunteers are using it. Scouts are using it. Grandparents are using it. They say it's too late for my child, as Diane Rehm said in Washington. It was just too late. I wish I had this for my children, but they're using it with their grandchildren. So
wonderful. Marietta McCarty, professor of philosophy at PVCC, and her book is Little Big Minds, Sharing Philosophy with Kids. Congratulations, and come back and see us.
It's good to be home.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.